Hi Emma, how are you today?
Hi there, Annabelle. It's very nice that you invited me here. It's always a pleasure to get to know new people and they're working in the same field and to share experiences when it comes down to translation. I'm working as a sworn translator and as a court interpreter.
I live in the Netherlands with Dutch and Croatian being my native languages, and my other working languages are English, Serbian, Bosnian and Montenegrin.
I'm looking forward to sharing more experiences about this in this podcast with you.
I have some questions for you. And the first one is, why people often think translation and interpretation are the same thing?
Most people know what translation is, but they've never heard of interpretation before. Often when I get a call for interpretation, the person on the line says, yeah, I need a translator. And it happens all the time. I also started out as a translator, and then later on I decided to do interpreting as well as an additional service, because it was too monotone for me to only do translation. And I wanted to also communicate with people and do like verbal stuff in as well. So it was for me like additional service that I could add just to make my work more diverse and to have like another part of my day devoted to something else than translation. So I think it's a nice thing to add if you're working as a translator. So I think it's because there are a lot of similarities. Like one thing both the interpreter and translator do is they translate or interpret whatever you want into their native language. So I would say a solution that we can have for this is making people aware of the differences. We need to like minimize this misconception that they have and explain to them what translation is and what interpretation is. And then you can compare them with each other. You can discuss the differences so that the person really gets the point of the difference between the two.
And do you have the ability to adapt to speakers with different accents and who sometimes speak quickly?
I've met people with like different ethnic backgrounds coming from all over the Balkans, and they all speak with different accents. So you really need to adapt very fast when you're working as an interpreter. Every time I get a call, like via the phone for interpretation, they tell me in advance for which language it is. So I can prepare myself for that already. And when it's, for example, a request for Serbian, it's harder for me because, as I said, my native language is Croatian. So I really need to switch and to make differences in my pronunciation. But so far, I haven't had any difficulties with people that were speaking too fast. They always know that there's an interpreter on the line, or if there's an interpreter like on site. So they know that they need to adjust the speed of how fast they talk. And in case it happens, always the moderator of the conversation always says to slow down, so the interpreter can have some more time to like take notes, write things down, and think of the translation.
Would you mind giving me examples of past experiences where you have demonstrated your ability to concentrate for long periods?
There's a good example that I had last week. It was a conversation about a divorce of a couple, and they were having a conversation with their attorney, and they both came from Serbia and they didn't speak Dutch, so I needed to interpret for the attorney. And this conversation took more than 3 hours. So it was a very long, long period of time for me to interpret. And I really felt after the conversation that my brain stopped working. It was really hard to concentrate for such a long time. And you need to, you know, write notes all the time and then afterwards think of the translation. So it's a lot of multitasking. And I think it requires a lot of preparation as well. When I was a kid, that people had that experience of going to the doctor and your parents like not speaking the language and them taking you with them. So you need to interpret for them. But I think that's not the right way to do it. Like a child shouldn't be doing such an important job and listening to such information. So I think that's when an interpreter comes in, and it's really important that, you know, they have the right there to speak as well, and not bringing your child or someone else to do that job, because it's very hard and it takes a lot of effort and also knowledge to have like the right translation. And especially when it comes to medical translations, I think it's very important that it's, you know, that it's done in the right and correct way. Yeah.
Are you always impartial when you translate?
I think it's, as it's expected from a professional interpreter to, you know, accurately reflect both the intention and also like the meaning of the conversation, and also the provider, like the healthcare provider or the doctor, he's gonna know that it's gonna be done in the right way. So I think that's what is most important.
Do you have communication barriers?
What I experienced often is when people are put in prison and they're not allowed to go out for an interview with their attorney, that attorney comes to their cell and they just put them on speaker, and it's really hard to hear the person that's being convicted because they're somewhere in the back on the speaker and you can hear the attorney perfectly well, but the other person is almost not able to be understood. So, and I would say another important barrier is that you're not able to see the other person. So you're missing out on gestures, like body languages, you're missing out on emotion. And that's really an integral part when it comes to social interaction and also facial expressions. You don't see them. Whereas like a smile, you know, it can convey like some pleasure or agreement. And if someone raises an eyebrow, you're not going to see that person is being skeptic or something else. So when it comes to phone interpreting, there is a lot of communication barriers. And therefore, in the Netherlands, court interpreting, for example, it's necessary that it's on site. So it's, people are not allowed to do it via video calls. You really need to go to the court and interpret there. Mainly because of those communication barriers, I would say they're trying to escape that.
Are you comfortable interpreting vulgarities, profanity, and unpleasant information?
It's really not like I enjoy listening to such information, but still, it's part of my job and it's a sort of risk that I accept to take. And interpreting covers many different fields. It covers medical, legal fields, taxes, and so on. And a lot of these conversations, they often concern confidential and sensitive information. So after all, the conversation, it takes place between two or more persons. And if one of them is like using swearing or profanity or something similar, then the other person is going to say something about this. And in the end, I'm not the person to solve this issue, because I'm only present to translate what is being said. At the court, for example, you already know going in there that there are going to be topics discussed that won't be everyday easy topics. And always, I mean, that's the case for the Netherlands. Before the trial, you are informed about the criminal offense. So you like know what the trial will be about. And if it's a really tough verdict and you don't want to be involved in it, you're allowed to decline. You can say that you don't want to appear for that person. So you can make the decision yourself. And if you accept it, you know, it always makes it easier for you to prepare yourself for the consequences that the trial might have, because you know at front what it is going to be about. So I don't know. I would say that preparation is everything here. Like, you need to be ready what is coming, and never take things personally. And in the end, you're the interpreter. So you're only there to, yeah, it sounds easy, you're only there to translate what is being said, but you should really also behave like that and not take things too personally.
And how do you prepare yourself?
It's improvisation, definitely, because you don't know what the lawyer or the prosecutor is going to say. So you only know the topic, like, you know, the criminal offense. So you know what the person is charged for, but you don't know the arguments of either the criminal, the offended person, or you don't know what the prosecutor is going to say. So it really comes down to that one moment inside the courtroom that you need to start interpreting. And I have a big list with a lot of legal terms, like the terminology. It has the terms like in all languages. It's a sort of definition list with a combination of different definitions and terms in different languages. And I just like to go over that list, to read it. And I always put some like bullet points and dots before the words that I'm not that I'm always having difficulties with that are hard to either understand or to remember. So I always go over that before I join the court session. We don't need to learn the same document as lawyers, but we do need to understand the criminal law. We need to understand how the criminal proceedings work. And what I think is most important is that we need to understand legal terminology, because if the prosecutor is going to say something, you don't understand what that word is, what he's saying, you can't translate the whole sentence like falls apart. So that's why terminology is very important. Once you start digging into it, you get really interested by all those terms. You want to know more about them. You need to take a lot of notes. You can have conversations that end up to be a few hours, and all the time you're listening and speaking, but at the same time you're taking notes. So you need to have really fast writing skills. You need to know what symbol to use for what word, because you don't have the time to write the whole sentence down. It goes very fast. So, and the only thing that has changed now because of COVID is that before we were sitting next to the offended person. And now, because of distance measurements and so on, you need to sit like 2 meters or something behind him or her. So that's making it harder when you're listening to the person, because when you speak in front of you, like the voice goes towards the prosecutor and the lawyer, and you're sitting behind. So it's kind of annoying, but sometimes if you can't really hear it well, you can ask for a headphone and then you hear what the person is saying much better. So there are solutions. I also didn't know at the beginning when I just started out my career that I needed to specialize. I was just like, I'm going to be a translator and that's it. Let's find work. And I really experienced that the more you specialize, the more work you're going to get. And I think it's very important that you know what you like to do and then specialize in that field, and you're going to get work in what you like to do. So for me, that's been the legal field. I actually always wanted to study law. And in the end, with doing the course in court interpreting, I still got some knowledge of law. So that's why I was so motivated.
That is really impressive. But what's more impressive is that you are the youngest court interpreter in the Netherlands. How does it feel?
It makes me very proud, actually. I didn't even know I was going to be the youngest. I finished with the course and I found the list, like the register that we have in the Netherlands where everyone is registered, basically. And I saw I was the youngest one, so it came quite as a surprise. And so far, everybody has been supporting me. I haven't had any hate comments or people saying you're too young to do this. People that are somehow shocked, like looking at me with such a young face and saying, how can you do that? How can you enter the court and just like work with criminal people? But those are mainly people that are jealous because you are so young and you get so many things done. And they're like, why didn't I do that? Or why am I not able to do it? So I don't know. I would always try to get the positive thing out of it. When people say something like that to me, I try to take it positively, basically. And I also always comment a positive thing. I never start hating them as well. I was also before afraid to just start speaking to random people I don't know. And now I've really experienced that every time I've did that, it turned out positively. People are always responding nicely, and they're also interested in your story.
Thank you, Emma, for coming to my podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.